fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right. You're here in Common Sense Radio. So you know it is Thursday night at 8 p.m. And you're right where you should be, in front of your radio, listening to Common Sense Radio to sift through all the fake news and figure out what's going on and try to post-analyze the results of the elections and coronavirus and Senator Schumer threatening the Supreme Court and all that. We're going to do all that tonight, and that's why you're here at Common Sense Radio. You can get us on TuneIn Radio. You can stream us at FMTalk1065.com, or just listen on your truck radio and enjoy yourself while you drive around town looking for whatever it is you look for at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night. But we are glad that you are here with us. And as always, we are here every week, crisp and clear. Doesn't matter if it's a Super Tuesday or Super Thursday. The electrons are ready to go. They are marching out the door right now because of who? Because of our award-winning engineer. The guy who can make the electrons dance. The guy who, rain or shine or daylight savings time, it doesn't matter. He's going to make sure this show gets to you. Award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate those kind words.
You are the man.
Yeah,
you're the
right
man. And even though we have an action-packed show to keep us on track and to make sure that there's something of value in the next hour of broadcast, we have our director of quality assurance, head of the entire research department, executive producer, co-host, all-around nice gal, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
It's great to be here.
It's always great to have the gang all here.
It's kind of like Monday morning quarterbacking.
It is like Monday morning quarterback, but we're really thrilled.
Thursday night.
Yeah, we're here on Super Thursday, so we can bring you the results of the Super Thursday elections, and some of the results are already pouring in, and I understand Joe Biden believes he has won a Senate nomination. If he can remember what state he's in tonight, we will know what Senate nomination he's won tonight.
Right, and because it is Super Thursday.
It's Super Thursday.
Right.
Super Thursday.
Poor guy.
Is it his wife, his sister, his aunt?
Yeah,
his
this is my... Who are you? You're my... We've been married how long? No, you're my sister. Yeah. I've known you all my life. I don't know. You know, we're kind of piling on, and you make mistakes, but this guy can make mistakes.
Oh,
he can make lots of mistakes. So,
and he has.
And he
yes,
has.
Yes.
Now,
made real ones.
Now, the Super Tuesday, and we got to dive right into that. That's a top story. You know, this goes really to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Jim Clyburn almost single-handedly resurrected Joe Biden.
He did.
Because, I mean, people were like, okay, Biden's out. We're pumping up Bloomberg to take the spot because we got... And the odd thing is that and we were talking about some last week, is that the Democrats, when actually faced with a socialist, which shocked me. They took a step back. They go, wait a minute.
Yep.
Now,
or was it when faced with an outsider?
And yes.
That's the real question.
That's it. Mm. I don't think it's so much that they don't really like socialism. It's just a couple things. You hit it. He's an outsider. Yep. He's not part of the establishment. They can't control him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're also very realistic about the polling, and they go...
And the down ballot.
The down ballot. Yep. He would be devastating. Down ballot.
Yeah.
They would certainly...
No coattails at all.
No, there'd be no coattails. He would probably... They would... I think they looked at it and said, we're guaranteed to lose the House if he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they must have realized that because they have amazingly coalesced around Joe Biden.
Oh, it was unbelievable the amount of people dropping out
on Monday
right
morning
before and after. It's like, are you kidding
so
me?
So think
you
about this. We're coming
meetings
into South Carolina and then Super Tuesday. Joe Biden, a lot of people don't know this unless you junkies like us. He was out of money.
Well, and
he almost had no money left.
Let's backtrack. The media narrative wasn't even 7 days prior. He's done. He's finished.
Yeah.
It's just... unbelievable.
A week ago, you know, before South Carolina, they were talking about that Super Tuesday, Biden would be done. Mm-hmm. And we'd be looking at Bloomberg and Bernie and whoever else was still hanging on. So now it's funny. So you say that Klobuchar and
Buttigieg,
that guy, mm-hmm. the butt guy, right?
Right.
They drop out on Monday before Super Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that interesting? I mean, wait a minute.
And Tom Steyer, too. And not that he had much of a chance.
Tom Steyer did himself in with that little rap dance in South Carolina. Did you see that video?
No, but...
I didn't, but now I might
Oh, he had some kind of campaign event, and he had a rap band singing something about the the butt up or something, but they use a different word, and he's up there dancing. Now, Mark and I are old white men.
Oh, no, I do know what you're talking about. Because
right.
I know the song, because I read the headline. I didn't dig in. But
well,
I know
Mark and
now
I are very sensitive to this, because we're old white men. Yeah. And one thing is, old white men, we know you do not dance in front of people.
Do not do a boogie
ever
on the dance floor.
Unless you're specifically trying to.
Unless you're really good at it.
Unless you
we're
have
old white men,
oh,
Mark.
Right.
Forgot we know better. I mean, the only time I dance is if I am going to embarrass my children.
He was the one,
right?
though, I think, yes. trying so hard to just, I
yeah.
want the black community to love me. Like, he was so, he was trying
you're,
way
you're
too hard.
You're the first black people I ever met. He was like a missionary in the Congo. And he goes, these
right.
black people are cool. It was just so weird. Anyway, so Klobuchar and Butt Guy were basically, they were somewhat viable. I mean, because
they still had some life.
Oh, well,
correct.
No, they had some life. You know, Klobuchar had some showing. She wasn't really gaining enough track, but she was still hanging in. And the butt guy had actually delegates. He was in
mm-hmm.
the count.
Right.
Super Tuesday, 14th. Why wouldn't you wait? I mean, it's Monday. Another day.
I do think
That's
there
what
was.
I'm
wasn't
thinking.
There was a meeting? Didn't
well,
they meet with Obama
well, they,
on Sunday?
They probably got promised.
They got promises.
The big meeting
the
happened.
Deals were made.
You know.
If they had gone in and maintain their candidacy through Super Tuesday just to see where it goes, how many of those votes that Biden and Sanders got would have been peeled off?
Right.
So who would have actually, you know, come mm-hmm. in the winner of the delegate count?
I think the powers that be, and look, even I think Biden even said it, that the butt guy has, he's going to be secretary
of
butts or something.
He's
his cabinet.
Going to be the gun compensation czar.
No, that's O'Rourke.
Oh, is he going to be the?
He's the
Beto.
Gun.
Oh, no, I thought Beto was
going to
do that.
Yeah, Beto got
oh,
that job.
Oh, is it Beto?
He's
Beto's
going to
be the
kind.
No. I think mm-hmm.
my
no,
mistake.
No.
Then they both look similar to me.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty
yeah, they're
sure
similar.
He promised the butt guy he's going to get to do something with rubber gloves.
There's
and
so
I don't
much
know.
To...
He gets with it. Whatever cabinet secretary gets to wear rubber gloves, that's the one he gets. I don't know.
Okay.
They made a promise to him, and then mm-hmm. you know, there was rumors flying that maybe he promised Amy Klobuchar to be VP.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are real or not. Those rumors were going around. But obviously, something was promised, because the day before, why not wait another day?
Yeah.
We're out. And we endorse Joe.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
We endorse Joe. So the establishment was coming together, strong-arming people saying, we're going to stop Bernie. And I'll be darned, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked because, what's his name? Biden won 10 of 14 states. Biden won Massachusetts. And everybody was thinking it was Warren and Bernie.
Yeah.
Biden won Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think Warren was like third.
Yeah, she was like third in her own state. So those two get out, and then Bloomberg gets, third and fourth all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got second. No, he won American Samoa.
He did win American
Samoa.
He
won Bloomberg.
Have you heard all the comparisons of the things he could have done with the money?
No.
Like, he could have bought everyone in all of Mobile County a brand new car.
Right.
Like, there's all these crazy things.
But
like the
for
things
$600 million,
he could have done,
bought a lot of brand new cars.
But if you take it from his perspective of his wealth and and projected upon the average American family, it's like $7,000.
He spent $7,000.
You're right.
The equivalent
ratio
of $7,000.
Is still not that big.
So, I mean, you know, it's like run for president, $7,000? Well, I might.
Sure.
I might.
It's not that much to lose.
It's once in a
lifetime. I've wasted more
thing.
Than that before.
I'll run, see what happens.
Right. So, yeah. Super so. Tuesday, he gets blown out. What happens? He endorses Biden, too.
Yeah.
So it's all coming together. And then the only one left is Tulsi. She's the only one. It's Bernie.
And she's like a media
Biden,
blackout.
And Tulsi, and they won't give her the time of day. Yeah. They're trying to change the rules so she can't be on the debate stage.
Right.
And then Elizabeth Warren finally said, all right, I'm out. She didn't want to get out. She had her own trail of tears.
Right.
She sent the smoke signals.
Sent the smoke signals. Mm-hmm. And they were like, and she was kind of bitter. Did you see it? She was talking about it, you know, kind of bitter. Were you going to endorse somebody? And she's like, no, I have to go back to my teepee and consult with the great campaign advisor in the sky. I got
to
think about this.
She wants to be on
smoke
the land
my peace pipe. Drink another beer on YouTube and I'll try to figure out. It's just...
She's so cringy.
She's so weird.
Yeah, she was one of the worst.
But this is totally, totally crazy. But it's crazy because with Beto back in there, ABC News has already reported they think that the Democrat gun control push, that might give the GOP a win in the November. And I go, you think?
Yeah.
Because I actually know, now this is weird, but I actually know Democrats that are very, very big Second Amendment supporters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I'm like, you're in the wrong party.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, so we've got more Super Thursday or Super Tuesday, whatever day, post-election analysis coming your way. Give us your calls and text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, we're going to continue with our analysis of the Super Thursday elections results nationally. But, you know, we had a local election here, Alabama election and local elections, a lot of results in that. We're going to unpack some of that. But we're really glad that we have the president of the Common Sense Campaign, your South Alabama Tea Party, who led the fight in South Alabama against Amendment 1. Dr. Lou Campagnosi is on the line. Dr. Lou, how are you?
Doing quite well. Still on cloud 9 after a whomping of Kay Ivey's Amendment 1. 75% to 25%. It was glorious. But you know, Pete, we have to stop and thank everyone, particularly our folks down here in Common Sense, who worked so hard for such a long time. At all of our candidate forums, we had people out passing out anti-Amendment 1
right.
information. We worked hard with local media. We went the extra mile in spending our money on signage to get the word out. And we had support from David Peterson's, Citizens for Government Accountability Group. They bought signs. We had a joint effort down here, and I have to say this. Our presidents and all of our chapters were out there rolling their sleeves up, holding signs, putting the signs into all these precincts out here so that people knew exactly what they had at stake here. And I can't thank all of our people enough to what they did to pull this off.
No, it was a great effort, and it was across the state. There were other groups across the state as well, right?
Exactly. Yes, the Alabama Conservative Coalition. We have had a conference call every Sunday afternoon since this number 25. So whatever the date starts with that. And the fact is that we were able to put together this group with our coalition, and we did the same thing across the state that we did down here. Gathering support. And what really turned the corner for us is the Alabama Federation of Women were able to provide enough money for us to buy radio ads with Jim Ziegler, as our voice of opposition across the state. That was one of the key things. Now, I know that it was a 75-25, win, so it didn't look like it was a big deal. But I will say this. It looks like it wasn't a big deal because of the size of the victory. But the reality is, the work we put in made that victory possible, and I think it's a testament to what happens when we work together, and we have got to do something about getting Ivy out of there and the swamp that controls her. This is our mission, and we're going to follow it up, this big victory, with an approach to getting rid of Common Core and doing what we have to do down the road to make sure that our kids get a decent education and quit fooling around with all this crap from the BCA and all these
that's the point I want to make, too, about it is this is really another tremendous Tea Party-type victory, grassroots of the people rising
up.
Because you organized, rolled up your sleeves, like you said, you got out there. The people did this, and really against all odds, because what folks may not realize is the big money, big business, the Business Council of Alabama, who has lots of money, even the Alabama Policy Institute, who we're usually in sync with because they're fairly conservative.
Traitors all. I mean,
they
really.
All went, all the chambers around the state, chambers of commerce, big professional organizations like your realtor organization, all of them got the call
board,
from the swamp,
board,
from Goat Hill, and said, we've got to push this through.
In the state. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Now, you were fighting a real Goliath on here, and I can tell you, because, see, I'm also in business and have a company. And
You're one of the good ones.
Of a lot of these chamber type groups around the state. And I'm going to tell you, I got in fights with a bunch of them. And there's one locally that I particularly told, look, I know I'm not going to change your mind, but you need to stay out of this because it's going to lose. And they didn't listen. They were all trying to push. But this was big money trying to ram it through to say, we're going to kill the Common Core resistance. But now the point is, and I think that's what you're calling, we got to come up with ideas to get the State Board of Education to do some reform and finally defeat Common Core in the governor's office and the other big moneyed interests.
Well, you know, Pete, years ago you had a really good idea that we've never really been able to follow up on, and that's to go and talk to the people at the BCA. They have new leadership, and someone told me that they have an in with the new president, and maybe it's time that you, along with several of our other people up there, sit down and talk to this new person and see if we can't get them to see the light on this.
Because, look, what we both want the same result. They want Alabama education to be turned around and to be, you know, successful. And, you know, I go back to before we did Common Core, we were what, in the mid-20s?
In the mid-20s.
In math and science, people were coming to us about our reading program, the Alabama reading program. Other states were trying to copy us. We were on the ascendancy until we adopted Common Core.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. I mean, isn't it amazing that all the things we said about Common Core were absolutely true? Not only were they true in terms of the intellectual argument, but they end up being, in practical terms, a disaster. And just look at the results.
Yeah.
You know, but these people are committed to this. They are ideologically committed. And these people in the business community who want workforce development. Look, when you and I were in high school, at least I know when I was, because you're a lot younger than me, and schools had already turned down by that. Okay, but back in the 50s, when I went to high school, I guarantee you, I was ready to come out and salute in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or wherever, because you knew what to do. There was discipline in the schools. Workforce development is all about that, not about teaching people idiotic math stuff that no one can understand.
No, that's right. And we want the same thing. We just got
on this, but you know,
I think it is time to try to approach. Say, look, we want the same thing. Let's really think about what we can do. Get rid of, just put Common Core away. Go back to some of the things that we know work, because we do. Look, we've got lots of jobs coming and not enough skilled people to do it.
Exactly.
And we need our young people
to
get
moon
the skills.
Math. How bad was that, you know? So, well, at any rate, listen, I do have a conference call in a few minutes, so let me get on that. But, Pete, thank you for what you guys are doing. Keep up that Common Sense Town Hall. We need this voice, believe me.
All right. Thank you for all your hard work, and congratulations to the Common Sense Campaign and all the volunteers and grassroots groups around the state who worked tirelessly as David and defeated Goliath, because that was a huge win.
All right, guys.
All right.
Y'all take care.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. All right.
Sure,
check him out at commonsensecampaign.org. All right. Let's go to David holding patiently here. He has something to say about the election.
I don't know about patiently, but that conversation you had with Dr. Liu, Dr. Liu sounded like Margaret Thatcher telling Ronald Reagan that Gorbachev was somebody they could work with when talking about the BCA.
You might be right about that, but they do have new leadership. And you know, the thing is, I know they really set in their ways about this, and they don't believe we, the people, know what we're talking about, but we want the same result. So it seems like we should be able to come to some sort of accommodation.
Yeah, just Dr. Liu saying the new leadership might be somebody y'all could work with just reminded me of Margaret Thatcher telling Reagan that Gorbachev was somebody they could work with. But real quickly, I wanted to call you out a little bit, Pete, because on social media, you said that you were going to write in Bradley Burns' name in the runoff for the
yes.
U.S. Senate.
Yes.
But you know you can't do that, right? Because there's not a place to write in his name.
I'll write it anyway. I'll make a place.
There's a paper ballot, and
is that actually? Now I saw you comment that. Is that actually the rule in a runoff that you can't do a write-in?
Yeah, well, there's not a place for you to write in, just like there wasn't in the primary. Because if there had been a place to do write-in votes in the primary, Sean Sullivan would have got a vote for president. So,
okay. But I've written names in before, and I can't remember.
That's in the general election. You can write his name in the general election, but not in the runoff, because that's I don't know if that's a Republican Party rule or not, but there was no place on any of the spots to run
to write in. I didn't pay attention to that, so I don't know. I don't know for sure, so I might be right. But you know what? I'm going to write it anyway. I'll put a footnote
anyway,
in there.
Real quickly, with the election results, I know that you were happy that Carl made the runoff and not particularly happy that Byrne didn't make the runoff. But what do you think about the runoffs that we're going to have in both the Democrat and Republican Party down here and the Republican Party statewide with the Senate seat?
Well, I mean, obviously we got an Alabama District 1 runoff, and I'd like people to chime in and what they're thinking about mm-hmm. all that. That's going to be... You know, a tight race because Jerry Carl had about 39 and Bill Hightower at about 37. So that's going to be a hard-fought race.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty confident for Jerry Carl on that. Now, the Senate thing, I really have no idea what's going to happen because the Sessions is weak. I know I predicted he wouldn't get in the runoff. I was wrong, but I was right in that he was so weak because here's the thing about Sessions showing. He's the only guy on the ballot for Senate on Tuesday that every voter knew. They knew him. They knew his record of 20 years in the Senate, and 69% of the voters rejected him. That's really hard to come back. Those 69% did not want him, and they knew him. They may or may not know the other candidates very well, but they knew him. So I have no idea. Because then you go, well, he's really weak, but then you go around, so are we going to elect a celebrity mercenary from Florida to be our Senate candidate?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I actually had a chance to talk to some of the Byrne supporters at his watch party on Tuesday night, and I would like to see some a polling organization do some polling on this to get some data. But every one of the ones that I talked, the supporters I talked to at the party Tuesday night, said they were planning on voting for Tubbs because they felt Sessions did Bradley Byrne wrong by jumping in at the last minute into that race. Because
Z. Bradley Byrne, before he made his decision, asked Sessions, "Are you going to run for your seat?" And he told him no, and so Bradley Byrne gave up his seat to run.
So if I'm hearing what you're saying, David, these people are going to shoot themselves in the foot because they didn't like what their neighbor posted on their mailbox. I mean, that's insanity.
That would be that's one way to look at it. But that was just anecdotal evidence. I don't know if that is the prevailing thought amongst Byrne supporters or not. That's why I said I'd like to see a polling organization do some polling on that to see if that is a prevailing thought or if that's just a microcosm.
No, I don't know. And I really have no feel how it's going to turn out because it's. And that's why I'm mad about it, because I'm sitting here going, I don't know how to make this decision. This is a crappy decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the unenviable position of I actually liked all three of the top candidates in the Senate race, so I would have been happy with any three of them winning. So.
Well, look, I'm not saying that the two guys in it are bad guys, but I am convinced Bradley Byrne would have been far away the best senator mm-hmm. for this state. He would have done the best job. And it just hurts my heart that the best candidate, is not in it. So,
and I agree with you on that, Pete. And tell me, Pete, where can I read your column?
At BamaNewsNow.com.
Exactly.
That's right. It's up there. It's about socialism. Can historical prosperity and opportunity compete with free? We'll talk about that after the break. David, thank you for calling in. We pushed the break. We'll be right back with your calls and texts at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard ABC Signs and Shirts, your headquarters for dry fit custom-made shirts or custom-made signs, custom-made banners, promotional materials, whatever you want, they can do it. So if you're running for office, you need signs, you need T-shirts, they can make them there. Maybe you need a shirt for your family reunion or your employees or your ball team, whatever it is, they can do it there. They make banners, they make signs. They've been busy in this election season, and it ain't over yet. So give me, check them out at abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, or abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z. And they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Don't have the audio, so I'll do my best impersonation. How do you tell a communist? Well, it's someone who reads Marx and Lenin. How do you tell an anti-communist? It's someone who understands Marx and Lenin.
That's great.
Couldn't find an audio of that.
I liked your well.
I know.
Yeah, I was trying to
You got close to
you're
it.
You're channeling. I know. After all these years, you're getting closer.
And I picked that to go with this week's column, Can Historical Prosperity and Opportunity Compete with Free? Because, you know, Bernie was rising and well, not so much he was rising, but he has this core of mostly millennials and a bunch of, you know, hippie Marxists from the 60s who are still hanging on, who are just so enamored with him. And they just, this almost 80-year-old man who's accomplished nothing in his life.
Right.
And is talking about destroying the most prosperous nation in the world. And they're cheering.
Right.
And it's, and so I tried to address that. And, you can check it at BamaNewsNow.com and some other papers around the state. Go check it out. It's up there. But really what it was, you know, yes, there's a seduction to free. Your college is free. Your health care is free. I'll make the old white men pay for it and all that stuff.
Well,
so there's a seduction. Is that it? I also kind of get into, I think part of it for millennials is experience. Because most millennials, most of their adult life was the Obama administration, where we had a stagnant economy. Wages weren't rising. The economy never grew. So they never felt real prosperity and opportunity. And I will say, even during the Obama administration, I'd kind of resolved myself, I guess I got to work for the rest of my life because there's no way.
Yeah. If you're like me, I looked at my accounts and I was like, last week. I mean, we still kind of have that fear. And I mean, I don't know.
But there's a lot more optimistic now.
It's been great the last three years.
And I think they haven't experienced that.
But here's the big thing. You know, we just had Lou on. We're talking about education and just how these little things do matter. Well, you know, back in the 60s when we got out of school, we changed everything. That slope has been slipping, so you really can't be shocked that we have reaped what we have sown.
Yeah, we've been teaching them.
Yes, so there's been full core indoctrination for a full generation,
a couple of generations.
A couple, really. So again, it's kind of funny if it weren't so scary,
right?
That the Democrats have courted this idea and flirted with it for so long, and now when it's come full blown,
they realize that doesn't work. We just wanted your vote,
but how these things work.
But when you add into the fact that federal government has gotten into financing of higher education, which has increased the cost of higher
tremendously
education,
and lowered its value.
But and now all of these people who have been indoctrinated with the socialist kind of thought process are now looking at $60,000, $70,000, $100,000, $200,000 student loans
with an English degree.
That's going to follow them for the rest of their life.
Right.
And
right.
somebody comes along and says, I'm going to make this free. I'm going to take care of that for you. Well, you're going to perk up and say, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
You think it's just one big bill getting taken out of your your
and you never,
budget.
And
you're
you
like,
never
that's great.
Ask who is going to pay for this. The government's going to pay for it. Well,
right.
If you haven't learned where the government gets its money and
right.
how it gets its money, then you're going to say, yeah, government's got the money. Sure, let them pay for my education. That's great.
Well, you know,
your parents not right. only are paying your tab, but they're also paying higher taxes now to pay for your tab that you shouldn't have had to run up in the first place.
And now you have all this higher education that you can't use.
Exactly.
You guys are going and getting like, stupid degrees, and you come out, and the best thing you can do
no
is get
value.
A job at the Apple store.
Right.
It's just like when the housing market busts. You know, that value of that house and that mortgage you were sitting on overnight
right.
almost – that value didn't hold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these numbers are really no different.
Right.
When you're going into debt this much, there's no return on that investment.
There's no return.
Well, and because,
if not, it's a loss.
Because they haven't been taught that there
how
needs
it
to
actually
be a return
works.
On
turn.
Investment.
No, they
yes.
don't even know
they
what that
no
means.
They have no idea what that means.
They're like, huh?
No.
You go,
right.
so what's the ROI on that?
Yeah.
And they go, huh?
No, they can't even balance their
Well, anybody in business or in finance knows what ROI
right.
is. Exactly.
And they,
you know?
They have
I've
no
known what ROI is since I was 17 years
like,
old. There's got to be a return
me, like,
here.
Can you like 50 bucks?
You know what's funny about the free education thing about, oh, you get free education, all that. Back in the 90s, I spent a lot of time in Eastern Bloc countries
mm-hmm.
as the wall
mm-hmm.
came down and all that stuff.
Right.
And you know what was interesting in Eastern Bloc countries?
Free.
Almost everybody had an advanced degree.
Free
now, they didn't have jobs, and they couldn't make money,
right.
but they all had degrees.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm talking in Ukraine and Romania and Bulgaria. All those people I would meet, they had
and
degrees.
Thanks to
but
those
they,
like the Dave Ramseys and the Mike Rao that are like trade school. It's the way to go. It only
make
takes
more money.
2 years.
There's an organization in Alabama, and I don't know who it is, but they've been running PSAs or commercials on TV. And they have, you know, success stories and people, you know, young women, young men.
Yeah.
You know, I went here and learned this, and now I'm making $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
And it only took 2 years. And
as
I'm not
a welder, as a machinist.
Sign me up.
As
can
a plumber.
Can I go? Can,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I go too?
No, and the kids don't realize that that's out there. They keep, go to college, get your degree, and you can do so many. No. If you're going to be an engineer, a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant, certain things that need certain, yes.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do that, you make a lot more money being able to do something. You can be a truck driver.
And probably be a lot happier. And you won't be a Marxist
a lot happier.
When you're
hey,
done.
Look, you know, when
oh, good
when
things.
The, when the power right. guy, you know, climbs down from the pole and goes home, he doesn't think about, you know, power sources anymore. He doesn't think
right.
about transmission sources.
But see,
do what you want.
You know where I conclude the column is that maybe it's just human nature.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
these kids, despite the education, have grown up in the most prosperous, powerful nation on the planet. That we have the highest standard of living for the most people on the whole planet. We have more freedom. They live it.
Probably
They've
ever
seen
in
it.
History.
It's ever in history. I mean, our poor people are not poor in half the countries around the world. They're middle
right.
class in other countries,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
They've lived it, and they still want socialism. And I said, you know, maybe it's human nature, because if you remember, the Israelites actually watched the Lord impose incredible plagues on Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
The Israelites witnessed Moses part the Red Sea so they could walk through on dry land
and
then
like,
drown the Egyptian army. The Israelites witnessed, ate, subsisted off of manna from heaven in the desert in Sinai. And when Moses was gone too long on Mount Sinai, they said, we need a gold calf. Make us a gold calf.
Yeah.
So
Moses
stiff necks.
And God
that's
have
what the
disappeared.
The stiff-necked people
stiff
said,
neck.
Oh, I know I saw those miracles, but
that's right.
I'm getting nervous. Give me a gold calf.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
I think the Bernie bros are
kind of
they're looking for the gold calf.
Yeah.
And look, this leads right into the Schumer story. And I say that because it really boils down to your viewpoint of life and liberty and where that comes from.
Okay,
and
right.
I asked my
Well, I was going to say let's tackle the Schumer story in the next break because we're just about out of time.
Are we out of time?
That's true.
So that's a good one to start in.
Yes, but let me answer quick. Somebody texted in, is Tuberville a resident of Alabama or not? Well, I wanted to answer that.
And I just got the Yellowhammer story that the headline in Yellowhammer News, Tuberville moved to Alabama to run for the Senate in August 2018, but voted in Florida in last November's election.
Right.
That's the headline.
Well, he voted in where? In November 19?
In Florida in...
November 18.
In 19.
19, okay. So here's the thing.
18, I'm sorry.
Right. Technically, and for... He meets the resident requirements to run for Senate. But he did just move here from Florida. He voted in November 18. He was voting in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wasn't an Alabamian.
And I've heard different things on this rule that you can run as long as if you win and you take office, you're an Alabama resident. Am I right? Am I wrong on that?
Wait, say that again?
You can run not being a resident, see my air quotes, but if you win and you take office, you must be an Alabama resident.
I am not sure about that.
I had heard that.
But I think we need to change the law that if you haven't been a resident for 10 years, you're not running for Senate from Alabama.
Sounds like a purity test to me.
Come on, it's Alabama. It's a state senator. You're supposed to represent the state.
I don't disagree.
All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to tackle Schumer. Or give us your calls and texts, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And right before the break, Teresa, I had a Biden moment.
It's okay.
I had a Biden moment.
Yeah, you did.
I had a Biden moment there. I'm sorry. Teresa brought up about Chuck Schumer and people. He threatened the Supreme Court justices. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and I put the context in, and I'm not sure exactly what case, but the Supreme Court is hearing a case apparently about abortion. It may be the Alabama case. These laws they all passed, these states passed, and they passed these abortion laws to be tested at the Supreme Court. But they were having a rally outside the Supreme Court, I guess it was today or yesterday, and these, you know, they're out there, women are screaming, "We want to kill babies. That's our right to kill babies." They didn't say it exactly that way, but that's basically what they were saying.
They basically
said that, yeah. And, somebody just texted in, it's the Louisiana case. So that is what they're testing. And Chuck Schumer was speaking to the crowd, rallying them up amongst all these crazy women who want to murder babies. And he basically threatened the Supreme Court, specifically singled out Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and said, "You better not make these decisions to take away the constitutional reproductive rights of women." He said something that big. "You will unleash a whirlwind. You will not know what hit you. You will pay the price."
And it's almost like you have to hear the audio yourself to really feel.
But it was calling out just judges and say, "If you rule this way."
Oh yeah, he was specific. He named names. And you know what? The fact he even said Kavanaugh, it made me mad because I remember day after day after day that Kavanaugh and his family endured all those lies and all those assaults.
Yep.
And yet he gets to stand up on live television and say this him and threaten him. It's just the double standard is being – you can't even call it a double standard anymore because no one on our side is doing that.
No.
And they say, well, Trump does it. Well, show me. Where has Trump done
where
that?
Did he where has he called? And say, "You better not do this or you're going to pay the price."
He hasn't done anything like that.
Now, he will criticize people severely, but he doesn't tell you you're going to pay the price. And actually, Judge Roberts, the Chief Justice, issued a rare rebuke saying it was dangerous and irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Schumer apparently has had a lot of pressure because he actually came out with a sort of apology, non-apology. And
there
he just
there is nothing to call this except a threat.
All right, it was Mitch McConnell. I don't have
Mitch
the,
McConnell don't have the thing. But and actually bringing that up, Senator Hawley from Missouri is introducing a censure of which I don't know.
Yeah,
what,
he's got like 14
how big a deal that is.
Senators with him.
What?
He's got 14 other senators.
Right,
with him.
14. So they may censure him. I don't know what that does. It kind of smacks you on the hand. I guess it has about the effect of an impeachment from the House. you know, no real effect. But he's feeling the pressure. But it's amazing how that's what you were talking mm-hmm. about. That this is their golden calf.
This is it. Mm-hmm.
They are fighting so hard to say, oh no, we have to preserve the right of infanticide. We have to be able to murder our babies if we want to.
And just if anyone's listening, let's back up and say what this all started from. Basically, it just says if you're in an abortion clinic, you need to be within is it 30-mile or 50-mile radius of a real hospital?
Right. You have to be.
It wasn't even like anything unreasonable.
It was just a law that said if you're in an abortion clinic, you have to have.
You have
they call admitting privileges, right?
Right.
Which means your doctor has to have a relationship with the hospital that if he has a problem, because you know there's a lot of outpatient stuff in these clinics now, you know, stuff you get.
Well, people can die. I mean,
look, my
and bleed
foot,
to death. Right.
When I had my foot surgery and they put a plate with 6 pins in my foot, it was in the doctor's office. It wasn't in the hospital, right? But they had admitting. You know, in case the old man like had a heart attack, they had admitting privileges to rush me over to Providence.
Right.
And that's basically all this is.
And that's all that was.
It's not trying to really thwart anything. It's just trying to keep probably people from dying.
Right. It's a protective.
Besides the
babies. But the Planned Parenthood doesn't want, because they know that extra
layer. It's one more step.
That step will make it harder to get abortions. So I don't know. But it's really...
It's hard
unsettling, disturbing mm-hmm. to watch these women screaming about how it's their right and it's a constitutional right. And now they talk about it's reproductive rights. It's not reproductive. You're killing it. You're not reproducing
anything. They need to name it something else.
What do you mean reproductive rights? My reproductive rights to kill my reproduction. What? That only could make sense to a Democrat. Right?
Yeah.
It could only make sense to a Democrat.
It's really tough.
It's tough.
It's really tough to make sense.
It's very tough. Okay, we got through all that. Schumer, I wanted to also mention, hey, be careful about the coronavirus. It's still out there. You know, but it's kind of like the flu. I mean, the cases, but
some people the crazy have it thing, are though, very is mild cases.
Very mild cases. But if you're old and sick and you get it, it's bad.
Yeah.
But so is the flu.
So is the flu.
If you're old and sick and you get it, flu is bad. If you got other health issues, the crazy thing is how it's hurting the economy because people are not flying. So airlines are losing lots of money. Conventions are being canceled. They're having problems. I've heard several companies are having problems with stuff that gets shipped out of China ain't getting shipped because they're not producing because production is shut. So whether it's real or the panic, it is having an effect on the economy. So we got to watch that closely. Although, you know, the conspiracy would say it was engineered to hurt the economy, but we'll see where it goes. I mean, it hadn't gotten.
Is that China meddling in our elections to the benefit
China
of the,
meddling, there
of
you
the
go.
Democrats?
For the Democrats, China meddling in the election for the Democrats. But hey, they're taking it seriously. The Fed's cut the interest rate by 0.5% to help keep the economy going and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, all this is going on. Other good news. Do you know that the illegal immigration, the border, we're winning down there. The border, they have cut catch and release to less than 2,000 migrants a month now.
Wow.
And the family apprehensions at the border are down 92% in February from the peak in May of last year.
I know. I read over that like 3 or 4 times because I was like, how? That's a huge.
That's a huge. So, and then they credit the policies and the resources, Donald Trump's policies and the resources the federal government's made available at the border to doing that. So we are winning on those things.
Right.
So there is good news out there. And then one other little note that I wanted to throw out. Thought was interesting because we don't get into this every now and then because of all the absurdity out there. The Arizona House, their legislature, the Republicans passed legislation this week to ban biological males from women's sports.
Oh yay!
So you know, if you want to be a girl, if you want to run as a girl, you got to be a girl.
Yeah.
And no one
can
steal it from you.
And you might have a chance of winning.
It's weird. Democrats can't understand that, but hey. Whatever that is. All right. We still got a runoff coming up. So be ready for it's only 4 weeks. They blessed us with that. Only 4 weeks, the 31st of March. But Don't forget to join us every Thursday. We'll be back next Thursday right here on Common Sense Radio. Honey, it's time to come home.